A1.
Number 17B.
Therefore, we must see that the Bible that has a literal meaning and a spiritual meaning, that really only the spiritual meaning is of great importance. Taking literally, the Bible will record the history of people and nations and tribes, will record wars, will describe institutions, phenomena of nature, and so on. The descriptions may be contradictory, mostly historically inexact. Taking literally, the Bible is, to a great extent, immoral. Taken literally, it will just relate myths and sagas and legends. Taken literally, we know that you can prove anything through the Bible. The Bible is taken, therefore, by everyone as an authority to prove their point of view, whatever that is. There will always be somewhere a Bible quotation with which one can prove anything, from immorality upward to any truth. Today, it is the psychologist that takes the Bible as an authority. It is the spiritualist that takes the Bible as authority. It's the historian that tries to show that the Bible is true history. And so many, many so-called sciences fall back on the Bible as an authority. But they always fall back to the literal meaning, which is not the spiritual meaning of the Bible. The spiritual meaning is the important one. Also, we must see that the text we have today may not be the exact text of the Bible. We have not the original text. We have only copies of copies of copies. And by copying, mistakes may have occurred and have occurred. And so, really, we don't know exactly always what was the original text. But we really should know the original text. Therefore, so much labor is given to find the original text and to correct the Bible translations as we go on finding new documents. Other mistakes come in through translation from the original language into modern language. No translation can really give the real and exact meaning of an original text. And certainly the translators should be spiritually minded in order to be able to translate the spirit of the original text into the spirit of the new text. So that really only spiritually minded people, and not just scholarly minded people, should translate the Bible. For instance, it is reported that at the time when the King James Bible was translated into English, that one of the translators was drunk every night when he went home. And so you can see how sometimes, what sort of mentality sometimes were at work in translating a spiritual book, an inspired book. But you know, one thing is very interesting. When you compare and use some half a dozen or dozen translations, as I do, I use perhaps five or six translations of the Bible in German, perhaps three or four translations at least in English. And if one compares these translations, they all vary textually, sometimes even very much. But funny enough, if you have spiritual sense, it never varies. You always get the true meaning, no matter how incorrect sometimes something is translated. Because with spiritual sense, you can detect the inadequacy of such translations very easily. And the spiritual meaning isn't touched by it, really. So I'm never bothered really very much if somebody says that the Bible is not yet translated absolutely correctly. Because if you have spiritual sense, you always can detect where what the translation really should mean. Now I come to another problem, namely one of the most important problems, and that is the Bible interpretation. I've already mentioned that the Jewish Christian religions have the same Bible. The Jews, the Old Testament, is the same Bible as for the Christian, the Old Testament. For all the Christian religions and denominations and sects which go into hundreds have the same Bible, the same Old and New Testament, the same text. And yet all these different denominations are different because they interpret the Bible differently. And so you have this quite extraordinary situation that you have one text for all and hundreds of different interpretations of that one text. So let us see how we really should look at the correct method of Bible interpretation. We should really go out from the fact that fundamentally it was God who interpreted himself to humankind. So God had an interpretation of himself, which naturally is definite and exact and unmistakable, and which can't be changed from one interpretation to the other. The divine principle only has his own, and therefore his one, interpretation. So human opinions don't matter. Therefore, whenever we read the Bible and want to see the true interpretation of it, we really should first put away our human conceptions of the Bible, our preconceived concepts of the Bible. I do that every day. Before I read the Bible and the Christian Science textbook, I just first pray that any human concept in me is put away, so that I can approach these books with a completely unprejudiced sense, with a completely open sense which says, only thy interpretation, thy teaching, and not mine, be revealed. But as the Bible is written through symbols, we really should know the key of these symbols. Just as a mathematician today, he calculates through symbols. And the higher you go in mathematics, the funnier looking symbols they have. And someone who is not introduced into higher mathematics just can't understand anything about these formulas with all sorts of symbols. But the mathematician who knows the key to the symbols, he can read those symbols. And not only a single one can read it, but everyone who knows these symbols can read those formulas in the same way and not in varying ways. Why not with the Bible? The Bible is also written in these symbols, varying symbols. But why don't we read that Bible in the same way and therefore understand the same and not always something different? It is because the key to these symbols went lost. At the time when the Bible was written, everybody was familiar with the meaning of these symbols. They weren't strange things to him. Just as today the symbol of addition or subtraction, which we use in arithmetic, is well known to each one of us. Presents no problem at all. And so in their time, the key to these symbols was known to each one. And so when they were speaking in that symbol language, they all meant the same thing. That key went lost. But as we know, Mrs. Eddy has discovered that key again. That's why her textbook is called Science and Health with Key to the Scripture. In biblical age, a symbol always stood for a definite idea. Just to mention a few, say a stone was always a symbol for idea. So when you had a cornerstone, which is a very important stone, a stone on which everything was built, then the cornerstone meant the Christ idea. Or you had the symbol of a tree. They were speaking of trees. The tree was always a symbol of a principle. And according to what sort of tree they were speaking about, they meant various principles. The national principle, the religious principle, the metaphysical principle, the economical principle, the principle of government. And so you had quite a definite symbolization of the various principles in human life. Or you take water. Water meant in the Bible thought. And when that water was a stream, and a rushing stream, it meant a terrific, wild, or powerful consciousness. Or when it was a sea, it was the immensity of consciousness, or of the realm of thought. Or then we know that the Bible would take numbers as symbols for ideas. The number one, for instance, stood for the concept of the oneness of being, for monotheism. Number three would say for life, truth and love. The number four would stand for the four sides of the holy city, the Word, Christ, Christianity and science. The five would stand in the negative for the five physical senses. The six would stand for manhood. The seven for perfection. The ten for application. The 12 for demonstration. And so on, and so on. So you see that in order to teach the language of spirit, the people in biblical ages used a symbolic language of trees and stones and water and so on, and would therefore combine these symbols when they would combine ideas. That's why we have these very funny pictures, say, of an animal that comes up with four heads, or with seven horns on their head, or anything like that, or with seven eyes, and so on. You could see that they began to realize that their language, which they took from things in the universe, was too restricted to explain the immensity of the ideas, and therefore began in apocalyptical language to combine these symbols to pictures which did no more exist in the material, on the material plane of existence. Well, having seen now that the Bible teaches through symbols, and that the symbols must be understood, the key must be opened, then we can come to a further question, namely, what are the criterions that our Bible interpretation is right? What are the criterions, so to say, that we really have found the original key to the scriptures, and not any old so-called key, but really the one true key? The criterion is that if we translate the symbol language of biblical age into our language of more abstract and precise language, that then the text of the Bible should be consistent without contradictions, that there should be no more contradictions in the Bible. If the Bible is God's revelation, then that revelation has no contradiction within itself. And so we only know that our interpretation is right if that interpretation does not contain any contradiction. A further criterion is that when we have interpreted the Bible in our modern language, that then we get a spiritual story which is one consistent story. So to say that the Bible is one great web, really, of consistency without seam and rent. So that the Bible, from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, really show one consistent story of spiritual idea, and not just a story which is presented at random, just an addition of metaphysical aphorisms, but that they as a whole form a system of ideas. So that the whole Bible really, when we begin to interpret it this way, will show a great order and a wonderful system of metaphysical ideas, and not just hundreds and hundreds of fragmentary truths which are put one next to the other. So that finally, really, we begin to realize that there is one great story in the Bible, but a spiritual story, a story which can only be fathomed through spiritual sense. Let me come to another point. We say that the Bible is the book of life, and it is a pity to see that many of the modern so-called metaphysical schools have not much use for the Bible anymore. That they feel that the Bible is antiquated. They have quite a lot of objections against studying the Bible or taking the Bible as an authority. They say not only that it is antiquated, but they say that it is contradictory. And naturally, it is contradictory when taken literally. So whenever I hear somebody who says the Bible is contradictory, I know at once that they haven't seen the spiritual sense of the Bible. but that they have taken the literal sense of the Bible and given to that literal sense of the Bible their spiritual interpretation and not God's interpretation of it. They have another objection and say that the Bible deals with problems which are no more up to date, that the world of today is different and therefore has to deal with different problems and not the problems of yesterday, so why study them? That they would say that the Bible deals with Israelite history and therefore is adapted to the problems and the necessities of their time and therefore are not conclusive for our present time. Or they even say that the Bible really presents only mortals' view of God and not the inspired sense of God. All these objections are right when you take the Bible literally. But when we take the Bible not literally, but as a revelation of God, which has had to be symbolized through the symbols, happenings of their time and with the problems of their time, then naturally the viewpoint is very different. So all those people who reject the Bible as authority are those who haven't really grasped the deeper meaning of God's revelation. You see, the divine principle always wants to reveal itself. Through all ages, through millions and millions of years, God has always revealed himself. In biblical times, God revealed himself through writings, through books, through teaching. But because God can be understood through many categories of divinity, through the categories, say, of the seven, through the categories of the four, the category of the seven again classified through mind or spirit or soul or principle or life and truth and love, or the category of the four through the classification of the Word or the Christ or Christianity and science, you can see that therefore that God's revelation of himself may at one time focus more on one category or classification, then later on focus on another point. And so not every book in the Bible reveals the whole of God, but only one aspect of God. Just as we have seen that the beginning of the Bible has especially the focus on the Word, the prophetic age, the focus on the Christ, the New Testament, the focus on Christianity, and the Christian Science textbook, the focus on science. So we must see that really each book of the Bible presents another standpoint of the One. Another has a focus on another aspect of the One Infinite. And so, what God reveals is always his own structure, his own nature. And God is never interested in a certain historical fact or historical period. God is timeless and therefore free from human history. But what God wants to do is to reveal himself through his manifold classification and categories. And therefore we have so many books in the Bible, because each book tries to symbolize a specific category of God or aspect of God. And naturally does that through the symbolic language, and therefore always uses that symbolization which is nearest to the human understanding of the age in which this revelation is brought forth.